You may be seated. Right. Attempt great things for God. Now, what is the first thing you must attempt? Attempt to do what? Huh? I can't hear you. Great prophecy. Very good. Number two. To love God. Attempt to love God. Amen. Which is a great commandment, isn't it? Change it to attempt to fulfill, to obey the great commandment. Attempt to obey the great commandment. The next one. Attempt to show compassion to many people. Good. Next one. What did you say? Attempt to have a great supper for the Lord. Amen. The next one. Attempt to plant a great seed. Such as what? A church. What great seed can you plant? Yourself, isn't it? And what is another great seed? A church. And what else is another great seed? A book, isn't it? And what else is another great seed? Preaching is another great seed. All right, beautiful. Next. Attempt great fights, isn't it? Beautiful. Next one is what? Attempt to stir up something great for the Lord, isn't it? But how do you do that? And what else? How do you attempt to stir up great things? With your tongue, isn't it? Speaking in tongues is a great thing. Amen. Next one. Attempt to build a great house for God. Amen. And the next one is what? The next one is attempt great gain. Great gain. Attempt to have great gain. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. They that will be rich fall into a snare and a temptation and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Amen. All right. Now, are you listening? Attempt to experience great gain. That's a great thing. Great gain is a great thing. Now, how do you do that? It says, Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, if you have these two things, if you can achieve godliness and achieve contentment, you have great gain. All right? One day I was with one of my pastors. Are you there?
Yes.
Godliness. You must have godliness. And then contentment. Right? What is the meaning of contentment? Can somebody check from the dictionary? When you say somebody is content, what does it mean? Check it up. You must have a dictionary app on your phones, please. If you don't have it, you are going to get into difficulty. A state of happiness, satisfaction, anything else? Pardon? Peaceful happiness. What else? Happiness with satisfaction. Okay.
Ease of mind.
Ease of mind. Peace of mind. Complacency. Peace of mind. Fulfillment. Yeah. Happiness with one's situation in life. Yes, that's more of what I'm looking for. Happiness with one's situation in life. You can come to the front if you're sitting here. I don't want anybody outside when I'm preaching. All right? Just come in and sit down. I accept that you are late. It's not a problem. Now, very, very important that you become happy with your situation in life. Amen. Right. If your baby is crying, please go out. When you stop crying, you come back. Beautiful. Right. Now, you can stay when it's not crying. When it's crying, you have to go out. Now, many people are not happy. No matter how much they have. This is the main thing. So one day I was with one of my pastors and I asked him, am I rich? Because he knows me well. I asked him, am I rich to you? Do you think I'm rich? He said, no, you are content. Yeah, you are content. You see, there's a difference between being rich and being content. Because a lot of people are rich but are not content. You see? And what did you say the definition was? Being happiness with one's situation in life. Happiness with one's situation. Willing to accept. Amen. Now, if you can achieve Christianity, godliness, with the state of mind where you are happy with your situation, I think you will have had great gain in this life. And that great gain is a great thing that you have achieved. Because the world is largely made up of discontented and unhappy, grumbling people. You can never hardly find any country where they are not complaining about their government. Do they complain about the government in Australia? Ah. You come to America, they complain about President Trump from the time that he swore in till the last day. You come to Ghana, they complain about the government. Every country. And the world and churches are full of discontented people. True. That is why we've taught about loyalty. Because no pastor is going to be good enough. I'm telling you, every pastor you know and can ever meet will always have some human faults and gaps and deficiencies. It is normal. We don't appoint people as pastors because they are perfect. But we appoint people as pastors in spite of their imperfections. All right? So that is not the reason why somebody will become a minister of the Lord, because he is perfect, but because of the grace of God. So churches tend to complain about the pastor, complain about his wife, complain about this, complain about that. What have they done? Why are they doing? What is this? Why not this? Why shouldn't we do this? What about that? It's too short. It's too long. It's too this. Why not? I don't agree. What do you think? What they say? Everybody says. No one says. We all like. Nobody likes. This is a church. So we are teaching on loyalty. And we are teaching that, you know, the stage one to disloyalty is what? A what? Is it independent spirit? Stage one, independent. Where you have your own mind about everything. And you must learn not to have your own mind, because you are a sheep. God didn't make you a snake. Snake you find alone. Usually. One day Bishop Saki told me he found a snake outside. There was a stone behind the kitchen door, I think. And this snake was living there. I mean, he's been there for years. Yeah. One, always you find one. The times I found snake, almost every house I've lived, I found a snake there. And it's always alone. Fun. Always. They don't stay. They can't stand anybody. I can't be with you. You irritate me. You are like this. You have this fault. I stay alone. I walk alone. That's a snake. But Psalm 95, verse 6 and 7. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, just the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. You are just a sheep. You are nothing but a sheep. So sheep are in groups, humbly moving along, trusting the leader. So when you come to a church, you have to develop yourself into a good sheep. A good, humble member of a group. A good, humble, following person who follows what's happening. It doesn't mean your mind is blocked out. Do you think my mind is not working? No. No. Why do you think I went to Korea? Because I am part of a group, a fellowship. Yonggi Cho is also my pastor. All right? He's 82 or 83 years. He can hardly speak. But I prefer to be part of the group that are sitting there humbly. When he calls for a meeting, we are all there. We sit down. When he's talking, we sit there. Whatever he says, we are listening to him. When it's finished, we go home. Anytime, no matter what I'm doing. It's very important. Why? Because nobody is not a sheep in relation to God. All of us are sheep. Unless you don't want to believe this verse. For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We are. Is it English? We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We are. We are sheep. Accept it. Don't fight it. And when you accept it and you hear, oh, we are all going to Sydney for a camp. We are going to Sydney for, I must be there. I am a sheep. I'm not a snake. Snake steps away from the group. In fact, anacondas. Have you watched the film Anaconda? Yeah. Are you sure you watched it?
Yeah.
Long time ago. Well, go get it and let's watch it again. Anacondas don't stay with their mothers for even one day. Can you imagine if your children did that? You give birth and they say bye-bye. On the first day. I can't stay with you. I have my own life from today. No, it's really something. You enjoy having your children depending on you for years and following. We are going here. Okay, we are going. I'm sitting by the window. I'm sitting here. And they are all coming along. The quarrel is who is sitting by the window or who is sitting in the middle. This is all. But not whether we are going or we are not going. So you should have been quarreling about who is sitting in the front and who is sitting, but not whether we are going or whether we are not going. Amen. And if we are having a program in the church, and let's say Pastor Joshua is preaching, all of us should be present. You can't say, I'm not, you know, I don't, who is that? I mean, that, you see, that starts to show the independence. Independence always speaks of someone who thinks he knows enough to be separate, to not follow. So where there are proud people, you have people getting up during the preaching and walking out. You not find that much in Africa. Somebody is preaching and they just get up and go out. But you find it in the Western world, they just get up and middle of them. It's like, I know more. I know enough to. I don't have to sit down to listen to this. And then they walk out. It's pride. Pride. Independence is pride. Like, we are not under you. Like Australia. So we are not under England. We are our own country. You can't tell us what to do. You can't sit in London and tell us what to do in Australia. You know how far it is in Australia. You can't tell us what to do. You may be the queen. You can't tell us what to do. So independence is always pride. I'm going to this church. I'm going to another church. You go, I go here. You can't make me follow you. You can't force me. So sheep nature, very important. You must be able to be summoned. Come, all of you, come. And you arrive. So if you're not like that, you've not developed the nature God created you to have. And we all have a rebellious streak in us, human nature. Everybody wants to do his own thing. Bible says a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And his father divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger took his journey into a far country. I don't want to be where you are. I don't want to be where you are. Dwelling daily in your... I don't want to follow you everywhere. I don't want to see you every day. I want to be on my own. I want my me time. Me time. What is me time? Where do you learn such things from?
Me time.
All right? So godliness with contentment. Yes, our pastor is not perfect. Yes, he didn't pronounce the words properly. Yes. Yes, he didn't use enough scriptures. Yes, he's not as anointed as you wish he would be. Yes, he's not like Benny Hinn. Yes, there was no miracle today. Yes, there's no power today. But I'm content and I'm stable and I'm okay. I can stay and I'm humble to be there in the church. This is a great achievement. And initially, when I began to preach about loyalty and faithfulness, people made fun of me. But you see, I haven't been here for 8 years. I haven't seen you for 8 years. Many of you, I haven't talked with you. But I've come in this church table. The people are in the church. They are happy to see me. It's a blessing. They are not angry with me. Why are you now coming? Is it 2018 you are coming? Why are you now? Is it 2018? All these years. What about if we have died? Are you now coming? After 8 years? Huh? Sit down. Sit down. You are rather happy to see me. Yes. So, yes, I want to come back again. Amen. Sit down, please. Sit down, please. I want to come to a great house with different colors, different islands, different people, different, a great house. Attempt great things. Attempt to have a great house. Many vessels. Amen. So, being content is a very great thing. So, to achieve that contentment in the church, in American church, English church, African church, Nigeria. I've not been to Nigeria for some time, but they are content. It's a great achievement. People don't know. And people who have not been able to achieve that, they don't have congregations all over the world. Yes. They don't have congregations all over the world. So loyalty is a very important subject. Loyalty is not just the word loyalty, but it is the word, it means to be constant. It means to be stable. Loyalty is stability. When you say a country is unstable, it means we are not sure whether the military are content. Because when the military are discontent with the government, then they think of overturning the government and overthrowing the government. That's what we mean when we say that a country is not stable. It's like the military are making certain moves. Yes. That's what happened in Zimbabwe, and they overthrew President Mugabe, who has been there for 90 years. Is it not amazing?
It's amazing.
Sit down. And what is the second stage of disloyalty?
Offense.
The fact that you can be offended, just the fact that you can be offended, shows instability. Yeah. Maybe I waved my hand this way and you were on this side. Man, I was just expressing something because I was holding the mic with this hand, but because you were on this side, you thought I was dismissing you. And you are hurt. Instead of saying I receive it, you are saying something else. So, being offended is a dangerous thing. Now, you have to be careful of offended people. That is why when people are assassinating and killing people who are in the government, they add the families to the people they kill. They add the families. And they try to kill the children, the relatives, the aunts. Because if they leave all these Chinese films, you know, have you watched these Chinese films, Snake's Face, Eagle's Claws, Cat's Paws, all these things, they kill somebody and they leave one person. A little child, then he grows up and he is offended. You get what I'm saying? And then when he grows up, then he comes to fight. So we don't want to leave an offended person anywhere. Because if you have just one offended person somewhere, you have a danger. And so that is why Satan's aim is to have offended people in the system. Yes. This one is offended about this. This one is offended. Even an offended wife. Like the husband may not be offended, but the wife is offended. And because she's offended, she will whisper certain things in the house after the meeting. And she will say, this man is saying this, and this guy is saying this. And she, instead of calling him bishop or pastor, you say, this man. And suddenly the man has become this man. This church. So you don't need to become offended. Now, young people don't easily get offended. You look at children, you see them playing. Suddenly one of them will come and say, what is it? He's taking my toy. He's taking my car. And you call the other one, don't give it to, okay, forget about him. Forget about him. You turn your back. 3 minutes later, they are playing together as if he never took his toy. As if he never took his toy. As if he'd forgotten that you took his toy and you were crying as if the whole world, as if whatever, you are crying so much. That's a child. So God expects us to have the humility of children so that we don't absorb hurts and we should let them drop off us.
From my heart, do you remember what I told you? Oh, I said I love you. From the beginning, I told you how dear you were, and I told you there's no one else like you in my life. I haven't changed my mind about you since I met you. I made up my mind, and I am as solid as a rock. Did you read my letter? Whoa. I wrote it from my heart. But I told you, oh, I said I love you. Oh, I cannot find anyone as good as you. Girl, you are still the best ever since I knew you. And I chose you to be my beloved. But I get the feeling that you don't trust me. Did you read my letter? Whoa, I wrote it from my heart. Whoa, do you remember what I told you? I said I love. There were many others, but girl, I liked you. Oh, but it seems it doesn't mean that much to you. I knew many other girls, but I liked you. Oh, yes, I liked you way more than I liked all the others. Did you read my letter? I wrote it from my heart. Whoa, whoa. Do you remember what I told you? said I love you. Sometimes you are happy, sometimes you look so sad. Oh, I don't know what to say that will make you happy. It seems that all my words have fallen to the ground. You don't think I love you, your mind is always on someone else. Did you read my letter? Oh, I wrote it from my heart. Oh, and do you remember what I told you? I said I love you. Perfect love casts out all fear. You cannot love me and be so afraid of me. How can we be happy when you have so much fear? What do you think I'll do to you? Do you think I'll run away from you? Did you read my letter? Whoa. I wrote it from my heart. Remember what I told you? I told you, girl, I said I love you. Oh, perfect love casts out all fear. Why are you checking on my life to see who I am talking to? You've got to believe me and trust what I told you. Read my letter again and see how much I love you, baby. Did you read my letter? Whoa, I wrote it from my heart. Do you remember what I told you? I said I love you. I said I love you. Oh, did you read my letter? I wrote it from my heart.